Escaping from Catholicism, but the last couple of messages now have been on exposing Catholicism. Now, I hate the Catholic Church because it hates God. The Catholic Church hates Jesus, it hates the Father, it hates the Son, the Holy Spirit, because it takes its place away from it. It is an abortion of Christianity. Now, I love Catholic people, and the most success that I've had is leading Catholics to Jesus Christ, to the true knowledge, the saving knowledge of Jesus, out of a corrupt system. And the way you do that is you expose Catholicism for what it is. When you look at the Catholic Church and the evolution of theology, the closer to where we are today is the closer to hell you get, right? The doctrines of demons. Catholicism is doctrines of demons. Now, we finished in the last message talking about the doctrine of the seven sacraments confirmed in 1439 A.D. 1439 A.D. And at the same time, within 100 years of that, in 1545, in the Council of Trent, they declared that tradition and ex cathedra out of the throne from the mouth of the Pope, their apostle so-called, it was equal to or greater than or more important than the scriptures themselves. In other words, scripture was no longer important. They had banned the use of the Bible altogether. Now, the seven sacraments, the doctrine of the seven sacraments, were confirmed in 1439 A.D. Let's look and expose what they teach. Expose what the Catholic Churches teach on the seven sacraments. Now, a sacrament is a vehicle of grace. The Catholic Church teaches, contrary to what the Bible teaches, the Bible teaches that if you come to God realizing you're a sinner, realize that Jesus Christ was your Savior, that sent here, that it is God the Son, that he's Jehovah the Old Testament, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and that he has the power to forgive sins. And you ask God to save you from your sins and save you and forgive you for rejecting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be saved. The Catholic Church teaches that salvation is a slow and gradual process of sanctification. They say that their priests have reached the point of purification and personification of righteousness. Now, we know that's not true. We know that. The history of the Catholic Church, the history of the popes will tell you that is not true. The popes aren't even righteous. The Catholic Church says that she is perfect. That everything that the Catholic Church says is absolutely divine and righteous and infallible. They teach you that the Pope, everything that the Pope says is infallible. And many Catholics say today, oh, the Church is changing. The Church cannot change. The Catholic Church cannot change. How can you change? You have to say that something you did infallibly was fallible, and that's not going to happen. An infallible church cannot say I was wrong. Now let's look at the seven sacraments and what they say, baptism, confession, etc., is. Now this is reading from their own works. The sacrament of baptism is the beginning of life. They mean spiritual life. Until you're baptized, you are dead. is the beginning of life, supernatural life, when the sacrament of baptism is administered, the spiritual vacuum, which we call original sin, disappears. Now, if original sin disappears, how come you keep on sinning? That's a lie in itself. Original sin, the infection of sin is with us until this body dies. We call the original sin disappears as God becomes present in the soul. And the soul is caught up into the sharing of God's own life, which we call sanctifying grace. Now, grace is, according to the Catholic Church, is given a little tiny measure at a time as you give up all these world sins, like if you were a Buddhist monk. If you give up all the pleasures of life, then you're sanctified. The Bible tells us that when we're born again, when God saves our souls, that we begin the process. We are righteous in God's sight, but we begin the process of sanctification of life. Not soul. Our soul is righteous. We're covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the Catholic Church keeps people from being saved. The Catholic Church keeps people from finding Christ. The Catholic Church puts Christ far away that you cannot reach Him. The Bible tells us Jesus is in our hearts. And the confession is in our mouths. In our inner minds, that God came to us to reconcile us to Him. We cannot go to Him to reconcile us. God came to us to reconcile us. So baptism, as the Catholic Church teaches, is a vehicle of grace. The Bible teaches baptism is an answer to a clear conscience. The Bible teaches that baptism does not save at all. The Catholic Church says that it gives you eternal life. Give you life. Number two, the doctrine of confession, and they call it reconciliation. We don't do anything to reconcile ourselves to God. God comes to reconcile us. The Catholic Church changes the whole object of God, making Him so far away that we have to go to Him. But we can't come to Him. We only can come to the saints, dead people, or a dead woman, Mary. The reconciliation, our confession. The sacrament of reconciliation is a sacrament in which the priest, an agent of God, and this is blasphemy. The priest is not an agent of God. The Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit deals with your life. As you confess your sins to God, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and sanctifies your life and forever saves your soul. Contrary to what the Catholic Church teaches. The Catholic Church keeps you away from God. The Catholic Church keeps you from being saved by God. The Catholic Church teaches you that God is an ogre, is a hard guy, a severe man, a severe God, and that Jesus is a tough guy, and you can't come to Him. But the Bible tells us to come to Jesus, and we can go to the Father by Him, not by saints, not by Mary, and not by a priest. The sacrament of reconciliation is a sacrament in which the priest, as an agent of God, forgives sins committed after baptism. When the sinner is heartily sorry for them, sincerely confesses them, and is willing to make satisfaction for them, in other words, give you money, do penance, do something. The Bible says, for in grace you are having been saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is contrary to Scripture. This statement is contrary to God's very person. Number three, by the way, the confession, a regular confession, was established in 1215 A.D. It didn't come from the Bible, it didn't come from God. The Catholic Church established it. Now, you can confess your sins to God. not to Mary and not to a priest. You will never be forgiven if you confess your sins to a priest. That's not going to happen. The Catholic Church has damned people, telling them their sins are forgiven. I think again of two people. Russell Balafoni, which was a godfather, basically, a godfather. He was the head of the mafia, or one of the mafia families, and basically over several families. And one of his very close friends, Francis Charan. Both of them had either, well, Francis Charan had killed many people. Francis Charan learned to kill in World War II. When he came here, he just went back to doing what he knew over there in the war, killing people. And he killed people. It is said he killed three people for Jimmy Hoffa one time, two in Puerto Rico and one in Chicago, and then he met Jimmy Hoffa in San Francisco, and Jimmy Hoffa was upset because he was a little bit almost late. They both, Russell and Francis, both went to priests when they got older. They wanted to go to heaven and they wanted to be forgiven for what they did. The horrible joke played upon them is that when they confessed those sins that they had committed to the priest, and the priest says, go your way, your sins are forgiven, was a lie. If they had gone to God through Jesus Christ, they could have been forgiven. God will forgive anyone of anything. But you've got to come to God by His prescription. There is no mediator except between man and God, except Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is our mediator. It's not a priest, it's not Mary, it's not any dead person, no dead so-called saint. The Catholic Church says the Catechism points out that the Holy Eucharist, now we're talking about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, by the way, is what we do in remembrance of Him. Now, in 1215 AD, the Catholic Church turned the Lord's Supper into a sacrament called transubstantiation. And it changes by their holy words and magic formulas. They burn incense and ring bells and sashay around and mumbo jumbo in Latin and turn the wafer into the body of Jesus Christ and the cup of wine into His blood, literally. The Catechism points out that the Holy Eucharist is both a sacrifice and a sacrament. A sacrifice every time they sacrifice Jesus Christ again. Jesus died once apart on the cross of Calvary. The problem between having a cross at a church and having a crucifix in a church or any place is that they sacrifice Jesus continually on that cross. Jesus is not on the cross, people. He's in heaven. He's not on the cross. He's not going to be sacrificed 1,000 times a day in 1,000 different countries all over the world. It's not going to happen. In the letter to Thyatira, Thyatira means continual sacrifice. During that time, in the church age of Thyatira, is when this hellish doctrine was invented. And it is a hellish doctrine. It's a doctrine anti-God and anti-Christ. The Mass is the divine action in which Jesus, through the agency of a human priest, changes the bread and wine into His own body, and the blood continues through the time of the offering which He made to God on Calvary. In other words, he's got to die and suffer forever. That's blasphemy. Jesus died once for all. The offering of Himself for mankind. The act by which we receive the Holy Eucharist is called Holy Communion. And the Eucharist is a vehicle of grace. The confession is a vehicle of grace, baptism is a vehicle of grace, and yet the Bible says nothing is a vehicle of grace except Jesus Christ and his blood, literally, on the cross only. Number four, confirmation. Confirmation is a sacrament, a vehicle of grace. Now, I want to say again that I have many Catholic people that are still Catholics that I love. And in these messages, we're exposing Catholicism for what it is. Because we would like to see those people be saved. They can go to hell riding the skirts of Catholicism. Or they can come to God directly and be saved and forgiven and have the peace of God forever. When that priest says, "Go thy way, your sins are forgiven," he's lying to you. He has no power to forgive sins. Only one person in this world has power to forgive sins, and that's your Savior, Jesus Christ. And he is your Savior. But are you rejecting him? Are you rejecting Jesus in a religion that is anti-God and anti-Jesus and anti-Holy Spirit? Antichrist. While confirmation is a distinct and complete sacrament in its own right, its purpose is to perfect in us that which began in baptism. We might say, in a sense, this is the Catholic Church speaking, people. These are their own words. We might say, in a sense, that we are baptized in order to be confirmed. Remember, baptism is for believers, people. Believers are baptized. Baptism is an answer to a clear conscience. How can a baby understand anything about baptism? Oh, well, we have godmothers and godfathers, and they confess the sins, and they say that they believe for the child, and then when the child gets old enough, then he will confirm what they did. Blasphemy. First of all, baptism is not a vehicle of grace. First of all, baptism is believers' baptism only. Only a believer should be baptized, not infants. Infants can't believe. Oh, we got godmothers and godfathers that believe for them, yeah. Coming to God is one-on-one. You and God. No priest, no baptism, nothing else. No church membership. It's between you and God. We might say, in a sense, that we are baptized in order to be confirmed. The Catechism section on confirmation says that the confirmation is the special outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Its effects are to, etc., root us more deeply in divine filiation, being children of God, unites us more firmly in Christ, increases the gifts of the Holy Spirit in us, strengthens our bond with church. Now, the Catholic Church says that only to the people in the Catholic Church are saved. Nobody else are saved. That's it. You got to be a Catholic. You got to be baptized. You got to go through all this rigmarole before you can get to heaven. It says it strengthens our bond with the church. The church doesn't get you to heaven. It's one-on-one, you and God only. The confirmation associates us more closely to her mission of bearing witness to Christ. That's the church. I want to tell you something. The Catholic Church does not bear witness of Jesus Christ. It bears witness of Mary and all of the dead people, the saints. It does not bear witness of Jesus. It bears witness against him and say, "You can't come to him, you got to pray to Mary. You can't come to him, you have to do this penance. You can't come to him unless you do this." There are Catholics in the world that have themselves crucified like Jesus. There's Catholics in the world that have crawled up stairs with broken glass on, crawling up on their hands and knees in broken glass up to an altar. All the broken glass in this world will not get you to heaven. All of the Eucharist in this world will not get you to heaven. All the baptism, you can drown yourself in baptism, and it won't get you any place but hell. You've got to come to know Jesus between you and Him. It says that confirmation helps us and more strictly obliges us to spread and defend the faith by word and deed. What faith? The faith of the Catholic Church, not of God. Number five is a total perversion of the purpose of God. Marriage is not a sacrament. Marriage is not a vehicle of grace. Marriage, God performed the marriage, the first marriage between Adam and Ishah, or Eve, in the Garden of Eden before they sinned. And God made man and woman to fit together in holy union. God made man and woman to desire each other in holy union. God Himself designed every nerve in your body to desire union with your companion. I'm not talking about some man with a man and woman with a woman either. I'm talking about a man and a woman in marriage. And God didn't create sex for procreation only. But the Catholic Church will tell you that sex and the marital union is for propagation of children only. That you can't be with your wife or your husband except to make more babies. A hellish doctrine. Do you really think God would do that to you? Give you all the desire to be with them? I mean, an old woman and an old man desire to be with each other. It's real, people. Every time you're have a union with your husband or wife, you're reconfirming your marriage ceremony again. Reconfirming that commitment between you and her or him and God. Perversion. Twisted. To ensure the right use of the procreative power of God found in the institution of marriage. The lifelong and irrevocable union of one man and one woman. Up to the time of Christ, marriage, although a sacred union, was still only a civil contract between a man and a woman. Jesus, however, took this contract, this exchange of marital consent between a man and woman, and made the contract a conveyor of grace. Lie. Blasphemy. Marriage is not a vehicle of grace. Marriage doesn't get you to heaven. Marriage can't get you a little bit on the way to heaven. Marriage has nothing to do with the grace of God. He made marriage a sacrament of matrimony among Christians. And I might say this, Catholics are not Christians. Catholics are not Christians. Christians are saved by the grace of God. They come to God one-on-one. They ask God for forgiveness of sins by what Jesus did. And that is that sacred union forever. It's not continual that you have to do this every day. Salvation is punctiliar knife blade action. When you do that, you shall be saved. For in grace you are having been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. not of works, lest you should boast. But the Catholic Church will tell you that salvation is a roadway of many, many works. And we'll get into that later, and the anathemas against Christians. Number six. By the way, marriage, in the Catholic Church, idea of marriage was in 1439. By the way, the Catholic Church, I said in the last or former messages, is the Catholic Church wants to control your very beginning in conception. They want to control your very birth, and that you've got to be baptized and become a member of the church and the state within a certain period of time. People died because of that hellish doctrine. They want to control you at confirmation. They want to control you at marriage, and they want to control you at death. Manipulation of the masses. Now, here's another hellish doctrine. Number six. History does not on the side. History is not on the side of the Catholic Church. If you study church history in college, you're going to study history of the Catholic Church. That's anti-church history. The Catholic Church stood against the true churches. The Catholic Church killed between 50 and 100 million people that were Christians, and they burned every scripture that they could lay their hands on and burned the people possessing the scriptures, as long, just the same as Islam did. If anything, Islam may have been just a little more tolerant of Christianity than the Catholic Church was. Because if you paid protection money in Islam, the Muslim Empire, you could at least live. If you didn't baptize your baby in a holy Roman Catholic state, you would be killed. If you didn't confess the Pope as the head of the church, you would be killed. Now, you had to shut up about it in the Islamic Ottoman Empire, but you at least could stay alive. The holy orders. The Catholicism is not another denomination. It's a different religion with a different God. The God of the Bible is not the God of Catholicism. The holy orders. Number six. The sacrament of holy orders creates a priest. The church creates a priest and gives him supernatural powers. There are two notable ways in which the sacrament of holy orders differs from one of the other sacraments. One is the fact that the holy orders can be administered only by a bishop. Where are you going to find that in the Bible? Where are you going to find a priest in the Bible? Where are you going to find a man that has power over other men's souls in the Bible? Where are you going to find in the Bible that a man can forgive sins or be a vehicle of any grace? Only a bishop has the power to ordain priests. An ordinary priest cannot pass his power on to another. An ordinary priest cannot pass his power on to another. By the way, the Bible makes all of us priests because we administer to other people the Word of God. Now, the Bible teaches that only men should be pastors and only men should preach to congregations, but women should teach with their lives and they should teach their children. A priest cannot pass his power on to another. The second way in which the holy orders differs from other sacraments is that the holy orders is not received all at once. The holy orders is not received all at once. It's gradual. And you're climbing your way closer to heaven, purer and purer and purer and purer, and then you get more of this so-called grace. Number seven, the last sacrament from hell. Last sacrament from hell. As I've said before, the only way you can get people saved out of the Catholic Church, you could leave them in the Catholic Church. It would be all right if the Catholic Church would lead them to hell, but it's leading them to, or leading them to heaven, but it's leading them to hell. Why do you preach so hard against Catholicism? Because there's people out there going to hell in Catholicism. And they got to know they're going the wrong direction. That the way they're going is not the freeway to heaven, but the freeway to hell. If Catholicism, I mean, there are people that are saved in the Catholic Church, but if they're saved in the Catholic Church, it's not because of the Catholic Church, it's because they heard the gospel someplace else. Because the Catholic Church does not preach the gospel. The Catholic Church does not preach the gospel of the Bible, that preaches their own invented gospel. The extreme unction, or anointing the sick. The anointing of the sick is a remarkable sign of God's great love for us. In his merciful efforts to bring us safely to himself in heaven, God seems to have gone to the very limit. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, section on anointing the sick, defines the purpose of the sacrament as the conferral of a special grace on a Christian experiencing the difficulties inherent in the condition of grave illness and in old age. Catechism 1527. You're dying. So what a priest does is he gives you the last rites, or the extreme unction, so that he will usher you into hell. Not to heaven. If you have followed the Catholic Church all the way to the extreme unction, you're on the roadway to hell, and it's getting real close. Are you a Catholic today? Have you been fooled by the priest, by the dogmas of the church? Have you been told that the church's decisions are infallible? Have you been told that the church is infallible? Have you been told that the Pope's words are infallible? How can a fallible man and a fallible church do anything that's infallible? The Catholic Church has been one of the greatest wars with God that's ever been invented on the earth. One of the greatest warriors against God is the Catholic Church. Martin Luther, John Calvin, they were Catholic priests. John Calvin and Luther both were Catholic priests. They tried to reform the Catholic Church, and they brought about what is called the Reformation. They had to leave the Catholic Church because you can't reform the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church is infallible, remember. The Catholic Church cannot change. It's against the doctrine of the Church and against the doctrine of all the popes. The Bible gives you an ultimatum. Either you believe that Jesus Christ is your only Savior, not a priest, not Mary, no dead man, no saint, no dead woman Mary, or you go to hell. God prescribed one way of salvation. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And that faith is realizing you're a sinner. Everybody ought to know that. Realizing that Jesus Christ really was born into this world, that he was really born of Mary, a virgin, And she was not the Mary of Catholicism at all. She was not the Mother of God. She was not your holy co-redeemer. Jesus Christ is the only redeemer and the only way to God. You come to God and confess that you have rejected Him, you rejected His Son, and ask Him to forgive you, and guess what? You're home free. Right then. No more vehicles of grace. No more sacraments. Then you only follow the Lord because you're saved. You're baptized then because you're saved. You serve the Lord because you know Him. And you serve the Lord because you love Him. Our Father, we send this message out to touch people's hearts with Your Word. I pray that those that are Catholics, that they will believe and can be with You. And those that are family of Catholics, that they'll have information that they can lead some of those people in their families to You with the guidance of Your Spirit. And Father, I pray for those that have left the Catholic Church that are being exiled by their families, disowned. Father, I pray for them especially that You will touch their heart and give them strength. And Father, forgive me where I failed You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.